Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Have you ever felt like you've tried everything to heal from the pain of sexual abuse, and yet nothing seems to really be helping? Well, one of the reasons why most people struggle to break free from the pain of past child abuse is because the techniques out there are positioned as a one-size-fits-all answer. What I want you to know is that there are actually 3 distinct phases on the path to recovery, and I'd love to share with you about these phases, what issues you must resolve to move to the next phase, and what kinds of support you'll need in order to move forward as quickly and completely as possible. The road to recovery is much easier when you know what stage you're in and what to do next. So don't hesitate. Go to www.rachelgrantcoaching.com/checklist and get your 9-page guide today. Now, on to our show. Welcome, everyone, to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant, and for those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007 and am the author of Beyond Surviving, the Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. I work with survivors who are sick and tired of feeling broken and unfixable, and I help them break free from the past and move on with their lives. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving program at www.rachelgrantcoaching.com. Now, today we have with us Emily Jacob, who's going to be sharing with us about how she discovered her formula for living a reconnected life. And I'm really, really so excited for you all to get to know Emily. I met her a while back, and she reached out as she was, reaching that place where she was starting her business and beginning to do some work around healing. And we just immediately had a beautiful connection. There's such a beautiful crossover between the work that I do and that Emily does. And she is the founder of Reconnected Life. Ultimately, what she's working at is helping women who have been raped to go from surviving and coping one day at a time, living in that half-life place, to living a full and whole reconnected life. She herself is a survivor and also a coach and NLP master practitioner, using her skills, knowledge, and experience to pioneer kind of a whole body, mind, soul approach to recovery after rape. Emily is a fierce advocate of survivors and is using her voice to break the silence and speak for survivors on issues relating to both recovery and societal attitudes and myths. As such, she's a regular blogger for Psychology's Life Labs, Metro, and Huffington Post. She's also advocated for survivors on TV and radio in the UK. Emily has a strong vision of ending rape culture within a generation by empowering the rest of society to stand up for survivors whenever they are presented with misogyny and ignorance. She's also the upcoming author of Reconnected, A Survivor's Guide to Life After Rape. So she's up to a lot. And so we're really glad to have her here with us today. Emily, welcome.
Hi, Rachel. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, man. So let's just jump right into it. I think that one of the things that, for me, when I was starting my business about 10 years ago, I created this title of sexual abuse recovery coach, because I thought, I don't really see this out there. And so I was really super excited as I got to know you and realize that, there are more coaches beginning to specialize in this space. And what ultimately caused you to decide that this is what you wanted to do with your coaching skills?
Well, it was a little bit of a journey for me, actually. I really resisted it. I felt that I'd gotten past being a survivor and was living my life. And I didn't want to be defining myself as a survivor. But in the end, I just couldn't walk away from it. I knew that what I'd been learning as a coach and what I'd been learning as to become an NLP practitioner had really been part of the keys for why I had been able to let go of everything beyond just the mental health element. Mm-hmm. And I resisted and resisted, and then I started talking to other survivors, and I just realized that I could help. And it broke my heart to think that I wouldn't be helping. And so I decided to get over myself and create my Reconnected Life program.
Awesome. Yeah. So once you made that decision and you thought, okay, yes, this is the work that I'm going to do and this is the direction that I'm going to head in. I love that you named, like, just needing to overcome some of your own, like, inner blocks. I can relate to that a lot. And, like, what's sitting there for you. And you finally started thinking about how you wanted to approach, supporting survivors of rape in healing. Where did you land with that? Tell me a little bit about how you do approach living a reconnected life.
Yeah, for me, there are really four elements, and how they show up in everybody's recovery path will be really different for every individual. But the four elements I fundamentally believe are the same for all of us in whatever form that they do show up. I think that we have to be able to get control over our brain and ourselves and feel that we can cope with the anxiety, the panic attacks, the flashbacks, that we have tools and techniques that help us be our own rescuers, and that we can get to a stage where we're not being defined by the fact, we're not letting our lives, you know, our lives be defined by the fact that we might have a panic attack if we go to that party. So we're not choosing to live a smaller life because of those symptoms. And when we can do that, that's the first element. For me, then the second element is actually making sense of who we are afterwards. In my head, when I was going through it, it was kind of like before rape and after rape. I was a different person and life felt different. And it was a really long time until I decided that actually I knew who I was and what I wanted to be and how I could make sense of living. And so that's a really, I think that part really plays to the core skills of coaching, of how to empower people to really help to empower your clients to really make those conscious decisions about the kind of life they want to live and the kind of person that they want to be. The third piece that's really important in living a reconnected life is connection, and that is connecting into ourselves and into our bodies, so that we can connect into our relationships and with other people. If we are disconnected and disassociated still from our bodies and we're just kind of lugging around this home that we live in, but hating on it, it's we're not very able to actually connect on a soul level with those that we want to keep and have in our lives. So connection is really important. And the last element, which I think is actually probably the most crucial element, is community, and is having the support of everyone around us. So those are my kind of my four pillars for how to live a reconnected life. And obviously, to what extent we identify and how we achieve those pillars is such an individual journey for us all. But keeping focused on each of those four things is what I think are the key ingredients to living more than that half life.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely love that. And, you know, I'm a big fan of structure. and I think when we can put a little bit of structure to this process of healing, that it just can help, you know, us make sense of what the path is and where we're heading and what to focus on. So I love this, you know, the structure that you've developed. And, you know, you shared a little bit about, you know, your experience of rape and how it was a very much of a marker in your life. And it sounds like, and it's similar to me in some ways, that you came to your process and your program by way of your own healing, right? And, trying to kind of find your own path. Can you tell us a little bit about what that process was like, you know, coming out of being raped and then looking for support and healing and, you know, how you were led to this particular formula?
Yeah, well, it certainly wasn't a straight line process. So I was raped 9 years ago. I was an adult rape. I'd gone out on a date, been drinking. I have no idea if I was drugged. It's kind of irrelevant. But in the immediate aftermath, I felt like I was fine and I was just coping. But actually what I was doing was disassociating. Mm-hmm. And I went through the motions of being a good girl and going and getting the counselling that they said I should go and get. And so I went to the counselling. It started about 3 months after, and it was about a three-month program. And I did the one-to-one sessions every week and kind of just sat there and jumped through the hoops of what I thought was expected of me in those sessions. But I wasn't really engaging in them. That led to some group ending sessions that was about 8 weeks long. And again, I just kind of didn't really actually engage, but I kind of just played the game of being there, turning up. And at the end of it, I thought, oh, well, I've taken my medicine. I should be better now. Mm-hmm. And so I went I flung myself into work, and for the next couple of years, I was working 12, 14-hour days, 7 days a week. And I was telling everyone that I was fine and that I'd moved on. And, of course, that's what I was saying, that my behaviours were still, you know, I was turning into a workaholic. I was also turning into an alcoholic. I wouldn't say I was actually became an alcoholic, but I was definitely drinking an awful lot. Mm-hmm. And I was having a lot of sex, and just basically living, just trying to prove to everyone through all of my behaviours that I was fine. But looking back, I can see how I definitely wasn't fine. That led to a breakdown, those kinds of working hours when you are having still panic attacks, even though you're telling everyone you're fine. It doesn't really work so well. So I had a total breakdown. And that probably saved my life. It probably stopped me from becoming an actual alcoholic. And I went back to counselling. I went back to group therapy after that. And I started to feel like I was making sense of the story and I was making sense of what had happened. And I started to recognise through that process the second time round that I did have PTSD and that I hadn't had a diagnosis. But I started to recognize that I wasn't fine and that I did need to get more help. I got myself referred to a psychiatrist who did give me that diagnosis and also diagnosis of dissociation, which I think has actually been the more key in my recovery to be able to overcome the dissociation than to merely just overcome the panic attacks. And I don't mean merely as though that's nothing. It's just for me, being disassociated from the world and not connected into myself, not connected into my body and not connected into any of my relationships has been the hardest thing for me to overcome and to reconnect back into. And I was working with my psychiatrist for about 18 months. We did a whole number of different modalities to overcome the PTSD, a lot of somatic work, EMDR, lifeline integration. And it was actually, though, the exercises that she made me do by myself in the time that I wasn't with her, the other 6 days of the week that I didn't see her, that actually were the things that started to help me get benefit from that process. And so when she discharged me and told me that I didn't have PTSD anymore, I thought, oh, great, cool. I'm better now. I really am better now. And then I was really confused because I wasn't better. I still had really low energy dips. I felt really frustrated with myself that I couldn't seem to find any kind of happiness. She told me I wasn't depressed anymore, but it felt like that sort of hollowness was my new status quo, and I didn't like it. And I planned that coaching would help me. It's just I decided to start my own business, a marketing business, at about the same time. And I thought, oh, well, I'll add coaching to my, you know, it's a new thing to learn whilst I do the thing I've always done. It was through learning how to be a coach and then deciding to also become an NLP practitioner and then master practitioner that I found that actually I could start to connect into myself and my dreams and move away from that hollowness, mm-hmm. And start to feel that life was worth living again and to create plans and ideas and visions of what I wanted life to be. And so that was really helpful. And it was actually whilst I was going through that process that I was thinking, okay, this is something I could use the skills for because this is really helping me. Mm-hmm. But I was still very much resistant. And mostly, I think, looking back, part of that resistance was because I was still very, very low energy. And I didn't feel that I'd be able to actually create something when I still needed to take naps most afternoons. And when you're trying to build a business, it's not very sensible to take naps most afternoons. so I was kind of struggling with actually figuring out if I was going to start a business, what kind of business did I really want to be doing, and whether or not I should be just going back to full-time employment, but thinking, well, I wouldn't be able to last in full-time employment because I was taking naps in the afternoon. And then I was at a self-development event that was connected to my coach training. And the exercises were very much, like, to my mind, really woo-woo and out there. And it was all about getting into your body. And there was an exercise about moving like you were, you know, lions and tigers. Mm-hmm. And all these women were sort of walking around the room as though they were, you know, pouncing. And I was just stood there, like, going, what? I don't understand how you can move your body in that way. I'm not connected to this at all. And then suddenly I had this kind of light bulb moment that I was totally frozen and couldn't move. The tears were, like, rolling down my cheeks, and I just realized that I was still totally disassociated from my body, that I was still really hating my body. And actually that my body needed to forgive my brain the same way my brain needed to forgive my body. And it was when I kind of had that light bulb moment that I decided, okay, let me start talking to survivors and understanding what they need and what I can maybe help them with. And I started to think, yeah, these are the missing pieces. This is why I didn't feel like I was better after I stopped seeing a psychiatrist, even though I no longer had any of the mental health symptoms. I needed to connect into my body, and I needed to connect into myself and my dreams. And coaching is what gave me those clues. And so, yeah, that's kind of my not very straight line path of how I got there.
The most wiggly paths are the ones that are the most interesting anyhow. So, you know, I love the wiggly path journeys. Excuse me. So, man, Emily, thank you so much for sharing your experience and a bit of your journey. I know that there are people listening to this who can relate to so much of what you just shared. And I think it's really, really important when we can see ourselves in others and in their journeys. And, you know, kudos to you for all of that amazing work that you did in your own journey and your own healing, and then to now be, you know, turning it around and giving back to survivors is just such a beautiful thing. And along the way, and as you were sharing your story, you mentioned, you know, how NLP was a practice that you learned and mastered and that you often integrate into your practice and your coaching. So can you tell us a little, for people who maybe don't know what NLP is and or even what it stands for, and what it is and how that particular practice plays a role in the work that you do?
Sure. Yeah, so NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And essentially, it's about our brain pathways, our neurons, and how the words we use inside our heads, as well as what we say out loud in the world, can program our responses. And it doesn't just work on the conscious level. The beautiful thing about NLP is that it's actually working on the unconscious neuro pathways and helping us to reprogram those. And one of the reasons why I was so excited about learning NLP is because as I went to the introductory workshops, I started to recognize a number of the practices that are used in NLP as being the as having their roots in the practices that my psychiatrist used with me in those sessions that I've had with her. And so I knew that it had worked with her, and I was like, well, this is just coaching, this isn't psychiatry. But what NLP is, it's the modeling of behaviors, and it was actually developed by a hypnotherapist and a psychologist back in about the 70s. I probably got that wrong and we're recording, but please Wikipedia it if tell me I was wrong afterwards. But it is about modeling great behavior. So when you see that, when I see, so see that their timeline practice, for example, has its roots in the lifeline integration that my psychiatrist did. Its phobia model has its roots in some of the cartoonification work that my psychiatrist did to take the pressure off some of the things that we were looking at. And I just felt like, oh my God, yeah, these tools can be so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do with my work as a coach is I use a lot of those tools in the coaching. I use a lot of Milton language. Milton is one of the founders of NLP, the hypnotherapist, in meditations that I do with my clients. And a number of the NLP techniques, they kind of jumble up logic so that the unconscious brain has to get involved and make sense of things. So when you're talking about where do you feel something in your body and you're putting shapes and colors and textures to it, it kind of works on reprogramming some of the ways we're thinking about those feelings in our body. And we can give those feelings different textures, different colors, different weights and vibrations that mean that they'll have a different impact on us when we experience them next time. So it's quite powerful tool to have in the tool set as a coach.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk about that a little bit. You know, I think one of the important things for survivors as they're out there, you know, kind of looking at different processes and modalities and approaches is to find the one that resonates with you.
Yeah.
And you know, that's, you know, one of the exciting things about, you know, working with and having colleagues who are coming at, you know, resolving this. There's some crossover in the work that I do and the work that you do, kind of on that brain level and then, you know, reprogramming of neuronal pathways. But there are certainly elements of NLP that I don't necessarily bring in that you are, and that's what's really great, you know, folks who are listening, that there's no one way to heal from rape or abuse, and the key is finding that modality that really resonates with you, and then sometimes a combination of modalities.
Yeah.
is what's going to work. So I'm so excited to just know more and hear more about the work that you're doing and how you're approaching, you know, supporting, you know, female survivors of rape. So, Emily, as we start to kind of wrap up today, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think in terms of final thoughts, it would be to say that you're not alone. It can feel so isolating because it's really hard, even if you do tell other people, to feel as though they understand. And so it's one of the things I love, Rachel, that you have your group and I have my group. And so what I would say to people is find a group of people who do understand and do get it, so that you don't feel so isolated and you feel that you can share and share safely what's going on for you. And then the other thing I want to say is that there is a way through. There is a way that it can feel better for you. It may be that you need to try out some of these different modalities, but that you will find one that works for you, most definitely. It's not something that we need to feel is weighing us down for the rest of our lives. We can find a way to move forward.
Beautiful. Yeah, I fully second that. Yes. Beautifully, beautifully said. Thank you. And yeah, Emily, it is so great to have you on today. Thank you so much for being here and being my guest. And for those of you who are listening, feel free to reach out and connect with Emily. You can reach her at reconnected.life. Her email is emily@reconnected.life. And one really wonderful thing is that Emily's blogs from her disconnected years can now be downloaded at Amazon. It Gets Better and Silence Hurts, Talk Hard are available for only $1.27 each on Amazon.com. And if you prefer the paperback, the anthology of Desperately Hopeful is also available. So when folks go to Amazon, Emily, what's the best thing for them to type in? Your name, a title to search and find this this resource?
Yeah, if you type in Emily Jacob and It Gets Better, you'll get to that book. And then if you click on the Emily Jacobs author page, you can see Silence Hurts and also Desperately Hopeful. And obviously, if you type in Emily Jacob and Silence Hurts, you'll get to that book and, again, to the author page and do say for Desperately Hopeful.
Okay, fantastic. So once again, Emily, thank you so much for this time today. It's been a real treasure.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah. And for all of you joining us today, thank you for being here and for tuning in. And don't forget to visit www.rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and to explore the other resources available on the site. And please be sure to subscribe to this podcast because we have so much more to share. And until next time, take good care of you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.